Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And again, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. You can call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air with us here this evening. And we are going to go ahead and start things off here tonight with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Thank you for making it possible. We just pray that we would use this for your glory. Help us to be a blessing and encouragement to somebody. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ and encourage believers in their walk with you. Use us for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's been an interesting week. It just seems like every week coming to the radio, we can talk about it being an interesting week. There's so many things happening. Of course, if you haven't been living under a rock somewhere, one of the biggest stories this past week, of course, was when President Trump came to town this past Thursday. Ohio's governor, Mike DeWine, as did everybody that had to, that was going to be meeting and being close proximity to the president, had to take a test to see whether or not he had the coronavirus or been exposed to it. My understanding, it was an antibody test, and he tested positive. So he went back home. He didn't get to go out to Clyde, Ohio, and be there as President Trump spoke at and toured the Whirlpool plant out there. And I guess he didn't get to go to the fundraiser that was out in Brattonaw on Thursday evening. But Thursday evening, him and his wife, it came out, it took two more tests. You know, most people can't even get one test, but and if they do get a test, it takes days, if not weeks, in order to get the results. But he got the second two tests and got the results back negative in each one of those tests. And said he's going to take a test on Saturday. And, then Saturday he got his tests, and what was it? Came back negative again, I guess. So he's saying he's in the clear, but he's telling everybody, don't let this experience take away your trust in, you know, in the tests. don't think they're unreliable. The CDC came out and said that I believe that over half of the antibody tests that yield a positive result are false positives. And the confusion now over, did he have it? Does he have it? Did he not have it? Which test was right? Which test was wrong? Did he keep taking tests until he got the results that he wanted? What's going on? Sheer confusion. And might I remind you, they're using this to set policy. And I can just about guarantee, I'm not going to 100% because I don't know this for 100% fact, but judging on past performances, I'll bet his test result from Thursday is still listed as another case in Ohio. And when he tested negative, I doubt that they took that away. If he gets another test and he comes back positive, then it'll be listed as yet another case in Ohio. Each individual person that has tested positive for the coronavirus may actually result in more than one case being recorded. And even in many cases, they list the number of cases, which is actually a compounded figure of actual cases and suspected case or potential cases. So, for instance, Governor DeWine testing positive early Thursday would have been an actual case. And then his wife being in close proximity and everything could very well have been listed as a potential case, which means that instead of just one case being listed, it might have been two cases. And if that's the case, then those cases are still listed in the total number of cases. And they like to list them because overall deaths have been down. And even by some of the figures that are available, I saw one chart that showed that since July 18th, Ohio has been below epidemic levels. So you wouldn't know that from listening to the governor. You wouldn't know that from listening to the mainstream media. And this is the basis on which we have actually happening in Ohio now. And I'm talking about Ohio since I'm in Ohio, where churches have been getting threatening phone calls from county health departments. Threatening to shut them down, threatening to fine them because people have been reported attending their services or going to their church without a face mask on. Ooh. Well, in the first place, even the medical professionals will tell you that the criteria now is to determine if you're exposed is you have to spend 15 minutes or more within unprotected within 6 feet of somebody before you're considered at risk of exposure. So if you spent 10 minutes or 5 minutes talking to somebody at the post office and you were 5 feet apart, even if they test positive, the likelihood that you got anything from them is extremely low. And now if you spend 15 minutes or more, you know, closer than 6 feet, now they'll consider it. And the reason for that is with any virus, when it's in your system, as it multiplies, whether it's the coronavirus or the rhinovirus, which gives you the common cold, or one of the many influenza viruses, they reproduce inside of your body, and your body sheds that virus. And apparently, the understanding in the medical community is you have to be in a close enough proximity for a long enough period of time to have the risk of getting the virus, because when you're not around very long, it's just you're just not being exposed enough. And so there's various reasons, too, why kids are very unlikely to be sharing the virus, too, because they just don't give off it in sufficient quantities, I guess. And so there's many reasons. That's why most of the rest of the world are opening up their schools. No masks, no social distancing. They're getting back to life as normal. Of course, most of the rest of the countries in the world are not faced with a national election where they have a concerted effort underway to boot out of office a nationalist leader who is not a globalist, and that's the case that we have here. We have a national leader in the person of President Donald Trump, who is not a globalist. He's a nationalist. He's an American first guy, America first guy. And there's nothing wrong with that. If I lived in Great Britain and I was voting in the government elections there as to what party would lead, I would want the party that leads and the prime minister that they're going to pick to be a Great Britain first guy. If I lived in France, I'd want a France first guy. If I lived in Germany, I want a Germany first leader. If I lived in Israel, I want an Israel first leader. You know, if I lived in Russia, I want a Russian first leader. You know, if you're a patriot, wouldn't you want the leader of your country being a leader that puts your country first? Now, that's speaking, of course, in the secular terminology, but as a Bible-believing Christian, of course, what we want is a Christ-friendly, a Christian-friendly leader, a Bible-friendly leader, how you want to phrase it there, but certainly that's what we want. And we are faced with an election where we have one party, the Democrat Party, putting forth a candidate in the form of Joe Biden that is not pro-life. And then we have another party, the Republican Party, who's putting forth President Donald Trump for re-election, a president who has been more profoundly pro-life than any president since President Ronald Reagan, and probably even more so than President Reagan himself. Arguably, probably Donald Trump's probably the most pro-life president that we've had in our country's history. Well, seems to me, as a Christian, I want a president that's pro-life, not pro-death. We also have a Democrat Party putting forward a candidate for president, the person of Joe Biden, who is favoring all the LGBTQ and special interest rights or whatever, and contrary to the word of God. And then we have a party that's putting forward a candidate in the person of President Ronald Reagan. I just did a flashback there to the 80s. President Donald Trump, who he's fair, believes in equal rights, but he's not especially favoring the LGBTQ community over everybody else. And so to me as a Christian, that's a better choice. And I can go on, and that's not my intent to continue on this. We'll be talking about more of this as we get closer to the November election. But what I'm trying to get at is, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, investigate the positions of the candidates, whether it's candidates for president, candidates for governor, candidates for mayor, candidates for town council, candidates for county executive or county trustee or commissioner, whatever your form of government is in your county, whether it's a dog catcher. Look for the candidate that represent your biblical beliefs, or if you can't find one that's perfect, find the one that's the least threat. I remember 4 years ago, we had a candidate for president, Hillary Clinton, that said that evangelical Christians need to be forced to change their beliefs. Well, yeah, as a Bible-believing Christian, that's sure somebody I wanted to vote for. Not. So if I believed what she taught, then I would have voted for her. But I did not believe that I should be told by a politician that I should change my biblical beliefs. And so I went with a candidate that I did not endorse openly in the beginning, but he was a candidate that said that he was going to support Christians and do his best to get rid of the Johnson Amendment, or at least to take the teeth out of it so that Christians could express themselves and churches and pastors could express themselves without fear of reprisal. Look at, if anybody remembers Lois Lerner and the IRS debacle, where they were harassing Christian and conservative organizations through the IRS and trying to hold up some of their applications for tax-exempt status on some of these Christian and conservative organizations. So we had a president come in that ended some of those practices. Well, again, I don't want to continue on. I've gone on longer than I expected to go on about that. Just a reminder, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. Find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you can link from there to our Facebook page. You can also follow us at facebook.com/livewithpastoral, or you can go to parlor.com, which is fast growing, and I think it's enough of a threat that Facebook is trying to put out things saying that, oh, it's fake news on Parlor, and yet Facebook is, their fact checkers frequently are in error in their fact checking, Parlor.com, go on there and just search, put in their search for Pastor Al Davis, and you'll find us on Parlor.com. If you haven't checked that out, let me encourage you to check that out. Much better platform than either Facebook or Twitter for many things that conservatives and evangelical Christians are trying to do online. That's Parlor.com. All right, well, we are going to get to our telephone calls here this evening. Remember, our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And Nancy's our first caller tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. And yes, it's very fascinating what's going on now. And in reference to the call that I made last week, mm-hmm. When you found the reference, Proverbs 6.
Right, right.
16-18, a proud look, a lying tongue.
Yeah, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him. Yeah.
Seven are abominations. Well, I noticed how well they coincided with I found the list of 45 current communist goals from 1963, and they are totally in sync with so many of the ones that I highlighted. I'm just going to mention a few that I think are really glaringly apparent in being carried out now because...
And let me interject there, too. When you list those goals, so our listeners, as they're looking at that, think of the Black Lives Matter movement and the Antifa movement.
You just took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say the Democrats, Antifa, well, of course, the Democrats are in favor of, they never criticize Antifa or Black Lives Matter, and Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, that's another one to think about, yeah.
Yeah. So anyhow, just some of them, I'll just read out some of the ones that I think are really glaring, you know, that really stand out as being true right now because it's just so apparent that communism is in our society now. And I'll just mention a few. I highlighted them. Get control of the schools. Use them as transmission. This is number 17. Use them as transmission belts for socialism in current communist propaganda. And then number 19, use student riots to foment public protests against programs or organizations that are under communist attack. And number 20, boy, is this true, infiltrate the press, get control of book review assignments, editorial writing, policy making. And number 21, gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. And keep in mind, this is 57 years ago. And this is all being played out now. And listen to this one, number 22, eliminate all good sculpture from parks and buildings, substitute shapeless, well, they haven't done that yet. All they're doing is knocking them down.
But they have put out some of what they're calling before, you know, the shapeless modern art. You know, it's just like a blob of something there.
And yes, yeah, that's mentioned in here. Yeah, and then promote homosexuality, degeneracy, promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. And that's something that, well, a lot of these organizations do, but especially Planned Parenthood, because they want these young girls to be promiscuous because then they'll get pregnant and then they'll have a lot of business. And then, this is really true, 27, infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion, discredit the Bible, and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. And then 28 is sort of in the same category. Eliminate prayer or religious expression in schools on the ground that it violates the principle of separation of church and state. Well, we all know that's a big fallacy. They constantly use that incorrectly. Number 29, discredit the American Constitution. This is so true. Calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, out of step with modern needs, a hindrance to cooperation between nations on a worldwide basis. Number 30, discredit the American founding fathers. This is revisionist history. Present them as selfish aristocrats who had no concern for the common man. And discourage, well, this is the same as revisionist history. Discourage the teaching of American history on the grounds that it's only a minor part of the big picture. Support any socialist movement. I mean, Bernie Sanders and AOC and all those that want to control Biden, if he happens to get in, they're all socialists. Support any socialist movement to give centralized control over any part of the culture, education, social agencies, welfare programs, and then discredit the FBI. Well, the FBI has become very corrupt. 38, transfer some of the powers of arrest from the police to social agencies. Now, isn't that true right now? They're trying to do that.
Anybody here defund the police?
Yeah. Transfer some of the powers of arrest from the police and transfer them to social agencies. Now, they're doing that right now. They're attempting to. defunding the police and replacing them with social workers and, you know, law type people that have no no ability to really quell any kind of riots. And then number 40, discredit the family as an institution, encourage promiscuity and easy divorce. And then this is really true. 41, emphasize, and it's all coming to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of parents. Attribute prejudices, mental blocks, and retarding of children to suppressive influence of parents. Now, this is like so obvious now with all the riots. This is 42. Create the impression that violence and insurrection are legitimate aspects of American tradition, that students and special interest groups should rise up and use united force to solve economic, political, or social problems. And that's definitely what Antifa, Black Lives Matter, are doing now. But I was just amazed. I think I heard you say that the 1963 communist goals are, you know, being played out now. I know Pastor Sanders has talked about it, but it just amazed me, and it's really scary how communism is so obviously, you know, apparent in operation now. And of course, if Biden gets in, it'll be full-fledged communism. Wouldn't you agree, Pastor Al?
Well, and I would also add that one of the reasons that the left hates President Trump so much is they fully counted on Hillary Clinton winning the presidential election and continuing what President Obama had been working toward, which, you know, in many respects, he was very honest and open. Remember, he said, we're going to fundamentally change America. That was what he ran on. And that's what he was doing because, you know, he is a product of this list here. And without looking at the time there, without going through all the history of you know, communist activity in the United States since the communists took over Russia back in the early 20th century. Immediately after they had their hold there, they started exporting communism, and they eventually hoped to have the whole world under it. You know, World War II, of course, intervened a little bit, and we were temporarily allied with communist Russia to defeat socialist Germany. Say, but wait, Pastor Al, they were Nazis. They weren't socialists. No. National Socialist Party. And they were actually communists, just like the Russians were. Because remember, Russia was the main country in the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. And even, you know, many of the other socialist or communist countries, they use the term socialist. And socialism and communism are virtually the same thing. You know, socialism is like the step before communism, and it's kind of exactly. Euphemistic term for communism, and people don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's anti-Christ, it's anti-Bible, anti-Christian, and so they had to, you know, find ways to marginalize Christians and marginalize the Word of God, and they're doing it. And one of the ways is just what you identified in that list of 45 communist goals for America. And if somebody just goes on, let me recommend using DuckDuckGo instead of Google, DuckDuckGo.com, and just to put in 45 communist goals for America. And I think the Blaze.com has got a good rendition of it there where you can read them and understand them. And unfortunately, don't have time to go through too many of them, but when you take the time to look at what's happening around us, these things are definitely being instituted, and people don't realize it. And people don't realize that they're
very
following.
Sneaky. They've done it very incrementally, you know, very slowly, and now it's just full-fledged communism.
But here's the thing that we need to focus on as Christians. What they've done is they've taken people's focus off from God and His Word. What they've done is they've infiltrated churches and got churches to take their focus off from preaching the gospel and standing up for the Word of God to instead being socially relevant. And as a consequence, they're turning away from God and His Word and instead turning to the world and what socialism and all of this has to offer. And they're following right into the hands. And of course, just like Paul warned Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, this know that in the last days perilous times shall come. And that's in verse 1. He goes on to describe those times. And then he says in verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And that's happening today. But the key is right here, starting in verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And he was calling Timothy to get into the Word of God and go back to the Word of God. That's your defense. That's your safety against these false doctrines and teachings that are becoming more and more common in the world. The Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. But unfortunately, we're like Paul warns Timothy in chapter 4 in verse number 3, where he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned shall be turned unto fables. And that's what we see, don't we? So we need to do what he told Timothy. Preach the word. Preach the word.
And history repeats itself.
Yes.
Right?
Well, Nancy, good that you brought this up. We're coming up on the break, though. Only got a few seconds left. So thank you for bringing it up tonight, Nancy. And
thank you for taking my call.
Yeah. And our listeners, stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio
844-286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'd love to hear from you. And we've got a couple callers waiting. We'll get to momentarily here. Just to remind you, I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. Certainly invite you to give us a visit. We'll have more information on that at the end of the program. But you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can also check us out on Facebook and Parler.com and our YouTube page. We've got this, as far as I know, it's streaming on YouTube. And I have somebody in the studio with me, usually Lauren's in the studio with me, checking to make sure that it's streaming, but she's not here tonight. So hopefully it's streaming and the sound is coming through and you can hear it. If not, well, I'll find out later. So anyway, getting back to things here, just to remind you that we're brought to you tonight not only by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, but we're also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School, and that is 4889 Turney Road. You can call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And let them know that you heard about them here on Live with Pastor Al. All right, we're going to get back to our phone calls here. And let's get Mark in here first off tonight. And Mark, welcome to the program here.
Hey, Pastor, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Hey, when I pray for this country, I know we're not free, and I know Trump's not a perfect president.
Mm-hmm.
But three of the things I pray. Are you still there?
Yeah, I think your phone seems like it's cutting out just a little bit, a little choppy.
Yep, you're back. Three of the things I hold up to the Lord is Trump is pro-life,
mm-hmm.
Pro-religious liberty, and he's pro-Israel. And I know the church has got huge issues in this country, but there is a remnant. I believe there's more than 10, unlike, you know, when Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah, or five, whatever. And I'm not saying God owes us and that we got dibs on God's favor, but I do lift those things up. But on the flip side of that, and I can't think of a scripture that would perfectly apply to it other than it's just sheer hypocrisy, I am really nauseated by a man in our state who for 40 years has claimed he is pro-life, but did nothing about shutting down the abortion clinics.
Mm-hmm.
He's used as a cloak to hide who he really is, a tyrant, a dictator. I'm not even going to mention his name. He's in the state house. He should not be there. But I would really urge people when they pray that God would look on how this man has used his alleged pro-life beliefs as just a cloak to disguise himself. He is a liberal, and as far as I'm concerned, he's a Democrat in Republican clothing. And I'm just convinced his lies, this week especially, when I heard he tested positive for COVID, I thought, yeah, just so you don't have to meet Trump. You know, this thing is just, it's so transparent, in my opinion. But the despicableness of the whole thing, of his whole existence, is using the pro-life cause as just a cloak to get in office. And I think it's really an abomination. I mean, you and Ernie Sanders and others, you put your money where your mouth is. You know, you're not fakes about that issue, the issue of our time. But this man has used it to basically fool people. And he has surrounded himself with people that are baby killers, believe in killing babies. And I really believe that it is not wrong for us to hold that up to the Lord and say, Lord, look at how he has used babies as a cloak for who he really is, as a cloak to get into office and then basically turn our state constitution and the U.S. Constitution on its head and just throw it out. And basically, he should be tried for treason. So I just thought I'd throw that out. If there's any scriptures that you feel apply to that, it's rank hypocrisy what he is doing. But I've thought, man, this is just despicable, what he has done for 40 years, you know. So if any comments you got or any scriptures that come to mind, you know, have at it.
Well, you know, I thought of several things as you were talking there, and 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, where he says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. And now the sentence doesn't stop there. There's a semicolon, and then he says this, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty.
Yes.
Now we take that we ought to pray for government officials, which we should.
Yep.
But think about this. If we're praying that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, then doesn't that entail that we're asking God to remove leaders that
Amen.
Are not leading in that direction?
Amen. I had thought of that. I've been really tired the past, you know, couple weeks. Well, actually, the past couple months, mentally fatigued. But I had thought of that verse. I thought, you know, I believe that it's for our own good that God wants good leaders in. And
mm-hmm.
if they are not living up to that obligation, God, clean them out. And honestly,
oh, yeah.
A couple of weeks ago when Householder got caught and a few others, I thought, there's no way that doesn't, well, I shouldn't say there's no way, but I'd been praying for weeks before that, you know, that if there's some scandal that's being covered up in he whose name must never be spoken's life, you know, that God would bring it out. And I don't know. There is such a thing, too, as satanic protection. I'm not saying...
Well, yeah, and I was going to say, as we get closer to the Lord's return, we
yes.
know that things are going to get worse and worse.
Yes, yes. And I'm not saying the governor is satanic, but the enemy will protect mm-hmm. his own. Look how he protects child molesters, the worst crime on the planet. And it's, you know, when these guys get caught, they've already committed hundreds of assaults on children.
Yeah.
You know, it's demonic protection, and
mm-hmm.
I do believe that it does happen in politics. Take the Clintons, for instance.
Oh, yeah. And as I read when I was talking with Nancy in the last half hour, Paul warned Timothy. He said, evil men and seducers, what did he say? He said, would wax worse. That
yeah.
means they'll grow. Wax means to grow, not to shrink. It means they'll grow worse and worse. And again, it comes back to we as believers need to get into the Word of God, and our churches need to be preaching the Word. You know, it astounds me how many pastors, how many evangelical pastors. I'm an independent fundamental Baptist, and I even find out of independent fundamental Baptists that are afraid to preach the Word of God because it might offend somebody, so they won't touch on the pro-life issue. It might offend somebody. They won't touch on to whether or not their people should vote for somebody that's for baby killing or somebody that's for protecting unborn children, because it might offend people. And I'm thinking, what part of Preach the Word did they not read?
Yes.
And I had a conversation with somebody after church at length about this tonight, and so I think I was probably kind of pumped up by the time I got in here this evening, so I was talking about some of these things earlier on, but if we do not begin, you know, in the house of God with getting ourselves cleaned up, getting ourselves right with God. If the pastors are not getting on their knees before God and asking God to direct them in their preaching so that they can preach the Word of God, we can't expect the people in the church that listen to them to be motivated and reached with the need to serve a holy God. And if the people in the church are not hearing that, the church isn't going to be doing that. The churches lose their ability to be light and salt in the community around them. And, well, you know, what was the old story about the only thing necessary, or the line about the only thing necessary for evil men to increase is for good men to do nothing?
Yeah, do nothing. Yeah,
and that same, we could paraphrase that. The only thing necessary for evil to flourish in the world is for God's people to do nothing.
We've got to pray, and I do believe it is not wrong to pray that God would remove people from office, and also that skeletons in the closet would just, the hinges on those closet doors would just break down.
Well, light is a great disinfectant.
Yes. Yes.
And let me suggest this too, in addition to our prayer. If somebody is listening to the program and they want to know what they can do, if you're not registered to vote or you're not sure, make sure, contact your county board of elections. And if you're not registered, get registered. Because I'll guarantee if Bible-believing Christians got up out of their pews and voted in this election and voted their biblical values, you know what? We'd see some house cleaning.
Just a quick question. Did our state legislature pass a law that we will not have mail-in voting?
I do not know for sure on that, although I will say this. The type of mail-in voting that is done in Ohio is where you apply for an absentee ballot.
Okay.
And when, in order to do that, you have to provide your identification, you know, to know that it's you. And then when you get your ballot, you have to fill it out, put your identification on it, and send it back in. And then they're supposed to check it against the records. But some of the mail-in balloting that's being discussed is they're just sending everybody not an application for an absentee ballot. They're sending everybody the ballot.
In this state?
Not in this state.
Okay,
but in other states. I just read something. Frank LaRose, the Secretary of State, who's charged with overseeing the election process in Ohio, he put out a statement saying that they're going to be sending, as they've done in the past, they're going to be sending absentee ballot requests to people in Ohio, to everybody, all the registered voters that are, you know, that are registered to vote. That's a lot different than just sending a ballot. See, I work the elections in Richfield, where I live, and we get the ballots, and the ballots, we have to basically sign for the ballots when we pick them up. We have to keep the ballots secured in our, you know, as long as they're in our presence, we have to keep them secured. In fact, the bag that has the ballots cannot even be opened until election day when we're opening the polls. And we have to keep a tab account of the ballots that are used and provide all of that information. And then the ballots that are not used have to be returned, along with all the other election results, of course, and the voted ballots. It has to be returned and checked off. We don't let these ballots just go out to all over the place, but yet some of these states, that's what they're proposing doing, just sending ballots out here and sending ballots out there. And no, they need to be strictly controlled.
I'm pretty sure LaRose will be speaking at Tom Zawistowski's meeting this coming Saturday, I think it is. I think LaRose is going to be there, but we really got to pray. I do believe that the government interfere in any way, shape, or form with our voting this fall, because he did. He disobeyed a governor's order. That's the other thing. He disobeyed a judge's order back in March.
I was up, you know, we were supposed to be reporting at the polling station at 5:30 in the morning, and I'm up at 11 o'clock at night still getting calls from the Board of Elections as to what I'm supposed to do the next morning, whether or not we're going to be opening the polls or not. And let me tell you, from somebody who was on that end of it, I was very extremely upset at what the governor did. It was not right.
He should have gone to jail for that.
And yet he got away with it.
Yeah.
The legislature did not hold his feet to the fire. He got away with it. And that's why he's had other judicial decisions that have gone contrary to his dictates. And yet those things are still being practiced.
Yeah, there's something evil going on in this state. And I honestly, when that happened back in March, I thought, this is practice. They're using Ohio as a test, the liberals.
And they're testing various ways. You know, they always talk about the several states being the laboratory of democracy. Well, they're using the different states to test which ways they can overcome Americans and bring them under control, basically, for lack of a better term. And I've got another caller who's waiting and we'll have to get to here before I run out of time. But let me say this. I really do believe, from what I've seen play out and the way the governor has been acting, and, it's unbelievable. He sold himself to the evangelicals in this state as, I'm going to vote for me, I'll sign the heartbeat bill, which, to his credit, he did. But then it promptly went to the courts. It was a safe thing for him to do that, because then it went to the challenge in the courts and never really went into effect. So it was safe for him to do that and use that as a way to court the evangelical vote. And so there's a lot of people who have been suspicious from him from the beginning. And I personally, this is my opinion, I'm not speaking on behalf of anybody, any organization, church, or anything. My opinion, and I consider it an informed opinion, but I think he's a deep state globalist operative that acted as a sleeper agent who came in a long time ago trying to work his way up to the highest position that he could achieve so that at such a time as this, him and multitudes others across this nation would be in position so that the globalists, and I point back to a program that we did on May 15th on a Friday afternoon with Gary Kaa, who has researched this in depth and documented much of this in depth. Said that in January of this past January, the globalists entered into a 12 to 18 month plan that they believed would achieve global government by the end of that 12 to 18 month period. I think God has hindered them, as he continues to do, because according to 2 Timothy chapter 2, the mystery of iniquity is already working in the world, but God, in the person of the Holy Spirit working through us, is hindering him until such a time. But when that time occurs and we're taken out of the world in the event referred to as the rapture, the catching away of believers, then the devil is going to be unhindered, and these things are going to come together, culminating in a global dictatorship.
God wrote the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation. They didn't.
Yes.
They didn't. He's in charge. He'll call the shots, no matter what their intentions and their plans are. And I know there's been talk that 2020 was their date to take over, and it's like, in retrospect, so what? You know, God is God.
Well, we need to pray, and we need to pray for each other. Hebrews 10 said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. So they're supposed to be together praying, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So, Mark, keep in the battle there.
I'll appreciate your prayers that I can find good fellowship.
All right, and we'll look forward to you calling again as well.
So, God bless you.
Thanks, bye. God bless. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Terry, welcome. Thanks for waiting.
How are you?
I am doing well. Good to have you on.
Oh, that's a lot of information in a short period of time.
Well, yeah, and I know we were concentrating mostly what's happening on this side of Lake Erie, but, up on your side of Lake Erie, Canada's not without its difficulties and challenges either, is it?
We got problems with our liberals,
and so we need to be praying for each other. That's for sure.
Liberals are like the Democrats.
Yeah. Well, and especially those that lean to the left.
Yeah, we got our problems. Two things that came to me when Mark was speaking. One thing that came to me is that we got to always keep in mind that we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Right.
Spiritual witnesses.
Ephesians chapter 6.
Yeah, and when you were speaking, too, about preaching the word in the church,
Mm-hmm.
What I believe that, and I don't hear this enough, and I believe that we should bring this back more, is preach the gospel.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, if you preach the word, it's kind of hard not to preach the gospel, isn't it?
Right, right. Yeah, the gospel. But
people don't want to hear it, just like you said. I mean, I get pushed back on Facebook for things that I post, and it's amazing what's out there. You try to defend the gospel on Facebook, and you'll get people who try to say that you're being hateful, bigoted, narrow-minded, you're unenlightened, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, the world will hate us because when we preach the gospel, because the world don't want to hear it,
and because the world hates Christ.
Right, they're antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that came to me. Like, that's one of the most important things in life. Is the first thing that a person needs to do is come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lord and Savior.
Right. And then, as a Christian, we need to serve as a good soldier. I was just going to say back here in 2 Timothy, I just looked back the page from where I had the Bible laying here open, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." And you were referring back into the spiritual battle there in Ephesians chapter 6, and that same part that talks about wrestling not against flesh and blood goes on to describe the armor of God. And that's what a soldier needs, right? Be armored up.
And we need to put on the whole armor of God.
Mm-hmm.
So we can overcome all the wicked darts of the devil.
Yeah. You know, something that's interesting with the armor of God, there's nothing that protects the back there. You ever notice that?
Because we got God watching our back.
Right, that's right, because God's got our back in that sense. And also, another point, we're not supposed to be retreating. You know, if you're not retreating, you don't have to worry about your back so much, do you?
No.
So you're...
And looking back.
He
that looks back is not fit for the plow.
Well, and what's the old song? Onward, Christian soldiers. It's not backward Christian soldiers. It's onward, Christian soldiers.
And never, never look back. Because once we look back, mm-hmm. when we run into problems.
Yeah. Yeah, ask Lot's life, you know, or wife, you know, she experienced that. But she became a pillar in the community, didn't she? not the kind she wanted to be, probably. But we need to be pressing forward. Paul talked about pressing forward, reaching toward the mark, and we keep the cross before us. We keep aware that God is with us, and all that we do, we're trying to push forward in the time that we have so that we can reach as many people as we can. So,
and we should be praying against the spiritual weaknesses, like you were saying.
Yeah.
We need to pray against it.
Mm-hmm.
And keep it away from people. Like you said, these things are going to come to pass before the Lord returns.
And as we get closer,
it's going to get worse.
Yeah, as we get closer, it's going to get worse and worse, yeah.
So we have to be vigilant at all mm-hmm. times.
Well, and that's the problem, because I just hear constantly about people, good people, that are falling by the wayside. They're dropping out of the battle, in some case even giving aid and comfort to the enemy. I had somebody tell me about their pastor who was embracing the Black Lives Matter movement. And I'm thinking to myself, how can you do that if you know the Word of God? But we're not saying that you can't, respect black lives, but we're talking about the movement, which is, by their own, leaders, a Marxist organization. And, it's against the Bible. It's against Christ. And we need to strive for Christ, not against him. So, well, Terry, stay in the battle there in Canada. We appreciate you up north. And there's certainly a lot of people.
Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, thank you. We need to pray for each other. You know,
that's right.
It's not just countries that are allies, but Christians need to be allied with each other and pray one for another and hold one another up before the Lord and encourage one another. And so I appreciate your calls. It's an encouragement to me. Terry, thanks for your call. We're out of time. Thanks for everybody listening tonight. Don't be overcome with evil. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Thanks for listening. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com.